A sudden rush of wind rustled the letters, and one flipped off the edge of the skip and snaked along in the wind. A man caught the letter in mid-roll, lifted it from the gutter, and studied it. Every morning, Gigi Tufano drove to the newsagent for his papers, but that morning, because it had snowed heavily overnight, he decided to walk. Anna heard the front door shut and then open again. He called up to her, "Anna, I've put the cat out. Don't let her stay too long." Pulling his dressing gown round her, she moved to the top of the stairs and looked down at him. He was wearing his warmest jacket, the one with the hood. She asked, "Do you think I'll get to school all right?" He turned back to the door.
"You'll be all right. I won't be long. See you at lunchtime."
"Light as a fire," she called, but his mind was probably already on something else, for he didn't seem to hear. She smiled to herself and watched until the door was closed behind him. It was bitter, perhaps the coldest Gigi had known it since coming to Edinburgh, for in addition to the heavy fall of snow, there had been a severe frost. The ground was frozen and slippery, and so, where he could, he crunched on the grass verges. He pulled up his hood to protect his ears and hoped Anna would remember the cat, but he couldn't hurry, for his feet kept slipping. When he reached the end of their road, he turned left towards Charlotte Square. The noise of the traffic was muffled as cars moved slowly along the flattened, icy tracks. They should have gritted the roads by now, he thought, and cursed as his left foot slid away in front of him and he nearly fell. At the top of the hill leading down to Charlotte Square, an articulated lorry, carrying a load of bricks, stopped for the lights. The driver took the opportunity to light a cigarette. He had a clear view down the hill. Idly, he observed, on the other side of the road halfway down, a Renault had skidded and come to a stop, creating a hold-up for the cars behind. When the lights turned to green, the driver moved off over the crest of the hill, but the combination of the heavy load and the ice caused the lorry to slip on the downward slope. Gigi saw the lorry. He thought he wouldn't like to drive a load like that in such conditions. It was a moment before he registered that the lorry was going too fast, that there was something wrong, and that it was careering down the hill towards the green.
"Christ!" he shouted. "For Christ's sake!"
and looked to see which way he should go. The driver cursed and changed gear as he eased his foot onto the brakes. He knew he must not slam them on, but the lorry continued to slide. He started to perspire as he felt the weight of the bricks pushing him down the hill. He was conscious of the cars on the other side and of the people. He had to avoid them, but he could not see clearly, for showers of ice and snow flung against his windscreen. He yelled and stupidly wiped his window with the palm of his hand. Then the wipers slowly cleared a triangle view. Now he panicked. He saw a man huddled in a duffel coat struggling across the green, saw him slip and fall and struggle to get up. As he screamed to the bottom of the hill and towards the green, he kicked at the brakes again and again and tore at the handbrake. The lorry ground into a ferocious skid. The side of the cab smashed against the curb and the back whipped round onto the green, throwing the man into the air like a rag doll. Such was the force that the load broke loose, and hundreds of bricks, firing off with gathering ferocity, exploded in every direction, the last brick falling with a dull thud. Gigi lay somewhere underneath them. She left Gigi hot coffee in the thermos jug and some porridge in a saucepan with the lid on. She knew it was stupid, even wrong, but she always felt guilty if she didn't make life as easy as possible for him. Of course, he was perfectly capable of getting his own breakfast and lunch, but somewhere, deep down, Anna thought he would be happier, love her more. It was ridiculous, pathetic, but it was her way. Nothing she could do about it, not after all this time. Gigi chose to work at home rather than go into an office to write his critiques on plays or art exhibitions, and although he could shut himself away in his study...